If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor, says Paul. Let's pray together. You've made it, Lord, so that we have these words. Thousands of years ago, a letter was written to a group of people, and you've preserved it so that we would have this to learn from this morning. So by your Spirit, I ask that you open our hearts and our ears and our minds to what you'd have for us today. We trust you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen. So, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, says Paul to his partners. Remember, he called them his partners. The church, the little ancient church. That's a funny way to feel about it. The little church in the ancient city of Philippi. And who was in that church? Are we guessing? Do you remember those people? The jailer, remember he said, how shall I be saved? And then this family got baptized. And Lydia, we think she was probably, she sold purple cloth, remember her? So that's who this letter's to. And that's who Paul's saying these things to. He says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ. Now we call that kind of rhetorical, right? Like that's a question with kind of an obvious answer. In fact, it's not even a question. It's of course they have, right? If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, well, these are the people that have got so much. God started a work in them, and he's going to take it to completion. Paul has already told them this at the beginning of the letter. They've got forgiveness. They've got peace and joy and strength. They've got wisdom, hope, and they've got love abounding. And Paul says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ. So I thought this morning what we'd do is we'd look at these questions that Paul has and maybe hear them for ourselves. Because what have you gotten out of following Christ? Have we thought of that lately? Or is it like too obvious? Now, it's not something I think about very much because it just kind of, day by day, it kind of flows, right? I don't stop and I go, oh, what do I get out of this anyway? Or it almost feels like the wrong angle, right? Like it's like if I said to myself, what have I gotten out of being married to Cordell? Have I gotten anything at all? Imagine, like, put your own question there, right? Now, of course, for me, it's easy. It's so obvious. I've had a life of adventure, 3 kids that are just like him. You know, there's so much I've gotten out of being married to Cordell. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, says Paul, can you think of what you've got, even right now, where you are, can you think of what you've gotten out of following Christ? Or is it just too much to list? When you put everything into that, right, is it too much? Or is it anything at all? If his love has made any difference in your life, and I'm not reading the texting that's going on, by the way. Even though I can see it, Scott. Okay. If Jesus' love has made any difference in your life. So if you've gotten anything out of following Christ, and then he says, if his love has made any difference in your life, ask yourself, Has it? Has the love of God made any difference in your life? What would my life look like if I didn't know the love of God? Now, it could take too much imagination. I'll give you that, okay? Some of us have known him since we were really little, and we can't even, how do you even put a picture to that? If I didn't know Jesus, I can imagine I'm hoping I'd be a nastier person. You know, his love overwhelms me. I hope it's changed me into somebody that's pleasing to him. His love is everything. His love helps us breathe. His love gives us breath. So if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, thirdly, he says, if being in community, in a community of the Spirit, means anything to you. We should be learning this now, eh? Does being in a community of the Spirit mean anything to you? Now, this is a tricky question for a pastor to ask, because nobody answers it in the negative to me. Just saying. Just warning you on that. It's not hard to assume that I know what you're going to say. Of course, being in the community of the Spirit means so much to me. In fact, being part of this community means, if it meant nothing to you, first of all, the people here wouldn't be here. Second of all, the people on Zoom, if this meant nothing, you wouldn't be here. I'm pretty sure of that, especially in the summer on this perfectly glorious day. So it's a safe assumption that being in the community of the Spirit, this community even, means something to you. But it's not a bad thing to talk about. After all, being in this community means different thing to each one of us. What does it mean? And we heard a bit from Sandy this morning, but what it means for her, that she's had people to walk along this really difficult path with. I know that's true for many of us in this congregation. We've had each other through hard times. This is a good thing, I think, to reflect on. If being in the community of the Spirit means anything to us. And does being in a community of the Spirit mean enough to us? That's the other question that always comes to a pastor's mind. Now, I'm going to go on a little bit of a quick aside here, because this is what's been going on in my head pre-COVID and before. You see, I know a whole lot of people who are Christians. They would say, I love Jesus. I want to be with him. I love praying. I read my Bible. But these people do not participate in church life, any church life. They were hurt. They have every reason, right? You all know these people. We know people who aren't part of congregations. And here's this horrible, real struggle in myself that I kind of don't even want to admit. Here's the thing. Do I actually believe that those people who aren't participating in a congregation of some sort, in any community of the Spirit, do I believe they should be? That they need to be? Do I believe that what we have here is absolutely necessary for our faith, for us to endure? And if I'm doubting that, and believe me, I do doubt it, because how I know I doubt it is I picture myself looking at one of those people that aren't part of church and saying, no, you absolutely need to be part of a congregation. If I'm doubting that, what needs to change? I say I've been thinking about this pre-COVID, because in this muddle, we've had to really think through some of the things, concentrate on what's really important. What do we really need from each other? If we're going to come back together again, do we want to go back to that place where maybe it's not filling the need? Now, this is a big question, and I hope we can have lots of conversations about it. But maybe our idea of just meeting once a week and coming here, maybe that's not enough. Maybe we need something more from being part of this community of faith. I'll leave it there and we'll keep going. So if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, says Paul, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor, he says. Then make my joy complete. Okay, so what's he going to ask? In light of all of that, what's the next step? Right? Do you know what he's going to say? Don't look in your Bible. Do you know what he's going to say? Okay, if any of this matters, if any of it's really important to you, then he says, maybe, give all your money away to some poor people. Or maybe even better, if any of this matters at all, if the love of God has done anything, then maybe you need to give all your money to the church. Or at least get there every single Sunday. Or what else? What else could it be? Maybe he's asking, if this means anything to you at all, prove it. Become a missionary. Or something. What favor is he going to ask? Make my joy complete, says Paul, to this little church. Do this very important thing. Actually, do the most important thing. If any of this matters, the thing that will actually result in your endurance, in your growth, in the whole world knowing about Jesus. Here it is. Do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand, says Paul. If this means anything, if you've gained anything in yourself from knowing Jesus, then be of one mind. Be together on it. That's what Paul thought was most important. That's what Jesus thought was most important. John 17, we know his final prayer. Make us one. So there's something more important than anything we can do on our own. It's that we do it together. You get that? Does that make sense? Does it tie this passage into what's coming next? So we're going to sing a song together. It was suggested, and I thought, after we got the ending to this idea, I thought, oh, this isn't quite the song that should, because it's one of those me songs. It's actually, the song we're going to sing is a vision song. What is it called? Be Thou My Vision. Of course, it's got thous and stuff. Kids, that's pretty, you can translate that pretty quickly. But I thought, as we sing this song together, church, what I'd like you to do is think of the people you're with and imagine them asking God to be their vision. And then imagine that God's going to answer. And You could even be thinking about somebody you disagree with. But if they're in this community of faith, and if this morning they're singing this song, can you imagine trusting them? Trusting God to answer their prayer? As we sing, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart," the person beside you, the person in the little pictures here, they're going to sing this too. They're going to pray this. "Thou my best thought by day or night, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light." Then we're going to ask for wisdom, declare God as our inheritance. Imagine the people we're with singing the song together. If Jesus is anything to me, if I've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in my life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to me, to you, let's understand the unity he wants us to have in him. This is what unifies us, by the way, this vision that he gives, this wisdom that he gives. Our unity is because he is king. This is what gives us the same mind and heart as each other. Amen. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen.